Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to European Data Warehouse webinar of gap analysis. A few housekeeping points before we start. The slide deck and the recording of the webinar will be available on our website under the events page in the coming days. At the end of the webinar, there will be a question and answer session. So please type any questions you may have during the webinar in the relevant chat box, and we will try to answer at the end of the webinar. My name is Irene Cannoni, and I work in the Business Development and Regulatory Affairs Department. And I'm here today with my colleague, David Benkemon, who is a senior associate in the data management team.
Good afternoon.
Today's webinar will focus on the gap analysis that European Data Warehouse has performed between the European Central Bank ABS loan level data templates and the ESMA underlying exposure templates published as an annex to the opinion paper by ESMA on the 31st of January 2019. First, I will give you a brief update on the latest regulatory developments, and then my colleague David will provide you with more detailed information on the gap analysis. In terms of the securitization regulation update, the latest information that is available is the 31st of January. ESMA published the opinion paper, which actually was the response to the European Commission's request to make some changes to the disclosure requirements. So the key takeaways are the calibration of the no data options. ESMA has actually now broadened the ability for reporting entities to use no data option in the templates. There were, of course, some adjustments to some data fields, and there was also restructuring in the collateral sections of the residential and commercial real estate templates. One of the most important changes was the merge of the inside information and significant event templates, which are now actually published as an Annex 14 and 15 in the opinion paper. In terms of the next publication that we saw in the beginning of the year was again another one by ESMA on the question and answers. This is very similar to the European Central Bank frequently asked questions. ESMA has developed this set of Q&A, which actually aim to provide further clarification on how to report certain information on the templates. But the actual ultimate goal is to ensure a common, consistent, and uniform union-wide reporting. We understand that ESMA intends to update this document on a regular basis, so we will inform you for any updates in the coming months. In terms of now the timeline, ESMA submitted the revised technical standards on disclosure requirements on the 31st of January. We understand that now it's in the hands of the Commission pending approval. We expect to hear something in the coming days because there's this mid-March kind of deadline. This is driven by the fact that, like, on the 26th of May, there are the upcoming European Parliament elections, and therefore the last plenary session of the European Parliament is expected in mid-April. So if they want to get all these technical standards approved and published in the official journal before the European Parliament elections, then this has to be done in the next couple of months. So if this does not happen due to the Brexit or any the upcoming elections, then the whole process may delay and drag on to Q3 and Q4 this year. In terms of the status on the securitization repository registration, we are still waiting for the final draft technical standards to be approved by the European Commission. And only then we will be able to start our application process. We expect this to be at the end of Q1 2019. So according to this timeline in the slide, if we were to apply in April 2019, we would be operational sometime in July. But according to the Article 7.2 and the fallback option in the regulation, in the absence of this ESMA registered securitization repository, the information should still be made available to a website that meets certain criteria, and among others, a well-functioning data quality control system, appropriate governance standards, and of course, we actually meet all those requirements set out in the regulation. And of course, based on this, the reporting entities may already use European Data Warehouse in order to fulfill the regulatory reporting requirements, even before we become an ESMA registered repository. There are already two public transactions and that we host in our platform that were issued in the beginning of the year, the Larnark Series 2019-1 and the VCL 28, which is also the first STS securitization published this year. We are happy to host this on our website in our application editor. Now, in terms of the repository solutions, we, of course, given the uncertainty around Brexit, we are preparing for every possible scenario, and therefore we established a UK subsidiary in October last year. The slide shows that post-Brexit, we may need to maintain two parallel repositories, one in the European Union, authorized and supervised by ESMA, and another one in the UK, which will be authorized and supervised by the Financial Conduct Authority. Now I will pass on to my colleague David, who will give you more information on the gap analysis.
Thank you very much, Irini. So now we will present you one of the tools that we put in place to help the market through this changing time due to the new regulation. So the tool that we want to show you today is the gap analysis version 3.0. So the gap analysis 3.0 is a comparison between the ECB template and the ESMA template published the 31st of January 2018. This gap analysis is for all the relevant asset classes, so RMBS, auto, leasing, consumer, corporate, and the credit card. So the goal of this gap analysis is to provide support for the issuers to help them to prepare for the new reporting and to help them to move from the ECB reporting to the new ESMA reporting. Also, it could be an help for the investors and the rating agencies to improve their understanding of the new templates, which fields are different and which fields were before in the ECB and are now in ESMA. One potential help also could be for the IT department. We want to show also what are the key differences in terms of format, and we'll come back on it a bit later on. So as you all know, ESMA templates are based on the ECB template. Nevertheless, few changes and few improvements were made by ESMA. So for example, in terms of format changes, now ESMA is requiring a day precision, whereas before the ECB was requiring a monthly precision. Also, in the ESMA template now we have some section that have been removed. For example, the amortization profile in the ECB in the SME corporate template. Also, ESMA wanted wanted to put the same regulatory fields that were in place for the unaccredited regulation. So for example, the field related to the size of the company. So ESMA wanted a consistency between the regulation and the reporting that were existing and the new reporting. Also, ESMA put in place some risk-related fields. When I'm talking about risk-related fields, I'm thinking mainly about the default fields. So many accounts default status have been added. Also, one specific field related to the default have been added to know what is exactly the definition of default that have been used. Some more information also related to the arrears. So there is a new calculation of the arrears balance that we will show you a bit later on. And also regarding the reporting, ECB was asking for the number of months in arrears, and now ESMA is asking for the numbers of days in arrear. The idea behind is really to avoid any kind of discrepancies in terms of reporting. I guess already you are quite familiar with the energy performance field. So it's two new fields that have been added for RMBS, auto, and consumer. We got also some change in the structure. So for instance, in the RMB template, we have a new section, the collateral section. Regarding the no data allowance, So if you have a look to the new ESMA template, you will see two extra colon. One extra colon allowing the ND1, ND4 options, and the second one allowing only ND5. And you can see you have specific field where you can use either both, or you can use just one, or sometimes none of them. And finally, regarding the static and dynamic field, ESMA is not making anymore any kind of distinction between the which field should be static, which field should be dynamic. Now, if we have a closer look to the no data options, as you know, the ECB used to have 7 ND options. Now with ESMA, we just have 5, so they removed the ND6 and ND7. And also, just a few details in terms of content. For instance, ND1 for the ECB was reported ND,1. For ESMA now, it's just ND1, so the comma has disappeared. So just this is like a few details that we want to highlight in terms of reporting. So as Irini has already mentioned, the Commission has rejected the version of August 22nd, and ESMA in the latest version of January 31st wanted to give more flexibility in terms of the use of the ND options. So they took into consideration the feedback that was given by the Commission. And if you have a look to the colon change, so for the field allowing ND1, 4, you can see that the most important change are for the esoteric template and the ABCP underlying exposure. So of course we had few changes for the more classic, let's say, template, like for RMBS, for instance, we got 21 more fields where we can use ND1 and ND4. And if you go now for the allowance of ND5, also you can see that the biggest change is for the ABCP underlying exposure. So ESMA really took into consideration the feedback that was given by the Commission. And as you can see, it's applying for all templates, but mainly for the ABCP templates. So now in terms of key technical adjustment between the ECB and the ESMA templates, so regarding the ND options, we have already mentioned it. So ESMA is offering 5 options, and you want 25, whereas the ECB was offering 7 ND options. In terms of file format, so both are asking for XML, but ESMA is asking for XML that is matching the ISO 222. So this is like a small difference that you need to be aware of. Regarding the field format, ESMA wanted really to be consistent. So they have a very strict format, for example, monetary and percentage, whereas for the ECB template, the field format was really was a bit more fluctuant, let's say. Regarding the loan identifiers, it was an issue that came up quite often in the ECB reporting, how to report a change in the loan ID. So ESMA wanted to bring more clarity, let's say, in terms of reporting for new loan ID. So they have created two fields. One field for the original loan ID that should remain during the whole life of the transaction, of the loan. And a second field, the new loan ID, that should be used in case of changes in this loan ID. And the static dynamic distinction, I have already mentioned it, so the ESMA is not making any distinction. And regarding the data section, so ESMA has added more section, as I mentioned, for instance, the collateral in the RMB, and also structured investor report, and so on. So now let's have a deeper look into the gap analysis version 3.0 and the methodology that we have used. So we wanted to highlight three types of differences. So first one was for the fields that have been dropped. Second one for the fields that are new, so meaning the fields that are existing now in ESMA but were not existing in the ECB. And finally, the change that are between the two templates. So let's say we have two fields that are in common template and we wanted to highlight if there is a change definition, if there is no change and could be mapped, this field could be mapped one-to-one, if there is a format change or if the definition is changing, but at the end, the input required is the same one. So if you have a quick look to the table, you can see that now, of course, I guess you are aware since now, all the fields in the SMA template are mandatory. Before in the ECB, some fields were mandatory and other optional, so now everything is mandatory. So if you have a look, for instance, to the new fields that are asked for the IMB template, you can see that 43 fields are asked that are new and need to be populated. And this is like, you can just have a high level look of what need to be, what are the key differences in terms of number of fields. Okay. So now this is how looks our gap analysis. So in white, this is the ECB template, and in blue, this is the ESMA template of January 31st, 2019. So here we will highlight all the type of cases that are existing between the two templates, the differences. So first type is a dropped field. So this is the field that is existing in the ECB, but not anymore in the ESMA template. And as you can see in gray, we have two columns. This is the column that us, European Data Warehouse, we put in place to explain you what are the differences. So for the drop field, for example, in the RMBS template, the property postcode, we just put simply in ED comment drop field, meaning it's not relevant anymore in the ESMA template. Example for new fields. So in all asset classes, now they are asking for the LEI of the originator. So the LEI is an information that's going to be asked for all the participants, and this is really, really something that we want to highlight to you. And in the column ED comment, you can see the new field, just to express you that this is a new field, and you should be aware that now you should use the LEI. As I mentioned already, for auto, RMBS, and consumer, the energy performance fields are existing. So as you can see, the auto L57 and auto L58. Okay. Now, if we have a look to the example of changes in the existing fields, so we got the field that is existing in the ECB and existing as well in the ESMA template. So, for example, if you have a look to the earth balance, this is very, very, very interesting and important field because there is an important difference in the way to report this field. So, by the ECB was asking to deduct from the earnings balance all the amounts that have been capitalized, and also to not include any fees. Whereas ESMA, in the latest version, is asking to add all the amounts that have been capitalized plus all the fees that have been applied to the account. So this is the key difference that we want to highlight and to show you that now the earnings balance between the ECB and the ESMA template, the calculation is quite different. Regarding a field with no changes, so we took an example of a corporate. So the field syndicated, is the loan syndicated, yes or no? And as you can see, this field is existing in both templates. So in the column can be mapped one-to-one, we put a yes. And all the time that you will see a yes, it means simply that the information could be copied from the ECB template and pasted in the ESMA template. Regarding the format changes, so in all templates now, as I mentioned already, the date in the ESMA template should be a daily precision. In ECB templates, the precision was monthly. So in the ED comments, you can see that now we put change of format, ESMA requires day precision. Finally, for the fields that have changed in definition, but the same input is required, we took the example of the consumer template for the interest cap rates. So as you can see here, the definition is really not expressed in the same manner, but of course the input that is required, so the cap rate is exactly the same. So we just put in ED comment an advice, or not really an advice, but we want to let you know that there is a difference in the formulation, but at the end, the input is exactly the same and the information can be mapped from one template to another template. So now just for you to have an overview of the number of fields that need to be reported. So here we show you for RMBS, but in the annex you will be able to see it for all asset classes. So in the ECB template we got 157 fields. Among them, 55 were mandatory, 102 were optional. And in the ESMA template we got 108 fields. So the question is, where are coming these 108 fields? So if you have a look, 45 of these 108 fields are 45 mandatory fields that were existing in the ECB template. 20 fields are coming from the ECB template and were optional and now became mandatory. Finally, we got 43 new fields, and like this you will be able to see in terms of proportion what is new, what was existing, and which field were mandatory or optional. So the gap analysis is one of the solutions that we want to offer to the market. We have also a very important solution that we will discuss just quickly now. This is about our test environment that we call the sandbox environment. And inside the sandbox environment, you will be able to make testing, free testing, on the new ESMA template and on the CRS3 templates. So the idea behind this is really to help you to go through this new reporting, and when the day that you will have to issue, you will be ready because you will have done the testing beforehand. So what we want you to know is that, of course, it's a free access. There will be data quality support, including a full access to the data quality rules and processing. So the testing with a new template of January 31st for auto and RMBS will be available at the beginning of April. So after what is coming soon for European Data Warehouse, yes, it will be a demonstration about our sandbox version and on how to upload the templates for RBS and auto. So all the template, underlying exposure, investor report, and the significant event inside information template. So with this webinar that will be in April 11th, we will really want to show you how to use this tool, how to get ready to it, and how you will be able to get ready with the ESMA reporting.
Thank you, David. We hope you found the webinar informative, and now we can go on to the questions and answers. We have already two questions. One is, how do we get the gap analysis? Do you want David to reply?
Yeah, sure. So the gap analysis will be available for a fee. And if you want more information, you can contact us at enquiries@eurodw.eu. And we will be really happy to discuss with you and to offer you two versions of the gap analysis, one Excel version and one PDF version, where you will have a full explanation of our methodology.
Great, thank you. And the next question is, if there is an example of a CSV template and to understand how to upload the new information in editor. It was in the last part of the presentation, but the question came a bit earlier. So the CSV version will be available for testing in the beginning of April. We will actually make it also available for the public around the same time, because that will be only able to test in the new release of Editor, which is planned for the beginning of April. We will actually inform you with the relevant communication from our side, and of course more details and exactly for the upload and how to use the sandbox will also be available on our next webinar on the 11th of April.
Let's see if we have other questions.
Okay, there seem to be no more questions at the moment. So many thanks for joining today's webinar. We hope you found it informative, and as we mentioned earlier, we will make the recording and the presentation available on our website in the coming days. Thank you very much.
Bye.
Bye.